One thing that I want you to think about for a moment is that God operates oftentimes in the context of seasons. Very important. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Harvest season. He has celebrations and festivals that are based on the seasons and the harvest in life. There's a season of 40 years in the desert followed by another season. There's Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. It's a season of 40 days. There are seasons where plagues come, seasons where men travel, seasons when men settle down. There are seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about seasons as though there is a purpose for every season under heaven. What season lies ahead for you? What season lies ahead for us? And is there not an intentional purpose for that season? So we find ourselves about to enter into a season of Lent. As I said earlier, I've never observed Lent. It always appeared to me to be something I wasn't all that attracted to. It seemed to be something, when you gave something up, didn't seem too appealing to me. I don't know who was in charge of the marketing of Lent. But that's what I always heard. It was some sort of religious thing that some people that I didn't know that were in different churches sort of observed, and it had a purpose behind it. When I was a boy, I thought, I don't know, it has something to do with fish, I don't know, or not doing something. So they never really hooked me on it. And then I, you know, investigated further and found that the season of Lent, which obviously has a purpose to it, begins with Ash Wednesday, 46 days prior to Resurrection Sunday. Okay. I always thought it was 40 days of Lent, but it is 40 days, but you don't count the Sundays. I find this out. So I also found out that Ash Wednesday is when I used to see Rudy Giuliani on the Fox News always have ashes on his head, so that kind of, all right. So you get ashes put on your head. There's some sort of ritual involved with that. But it follows Fat Tuesday, and Fat Tuesday is when you just blow it all out, you know. Get all your sin out there in the open, and it originated, I know, with people bringing stuff out of their cupboards that they didn't want to eat during Lent, so they got rid of all that stuff. Then Mardi Gras came along, and Lent's not in the Bible, and I can assure you Mardi Gras is not in the Bible either. But there's a purpose to it. What is this purpose? What difference would that make, perhaps, in our own life if we were to purpose ourselves to observe this season? Lent always hasn't been that long. Sometimes it was just a few days of fasting. You know, the council at Nicaea had something to do with it. Gregory had something to do with it. Anyway, we find ourselves with 46 days ahead of us. From March 1st to the 15th of April, and the 16th of April is Resurrection Sunday. So I look at it and I say to myself, if I personally, if my family, if my home, if this church could purpose themselves and maximize what a season is supposed to be about, a season of emphasis and intentionality, then it could actually be a very proper thing, a very progressive thing, and it could be a very prosperous thing if we set our mind to something individually and corporately. My job as a shepherd is to lead a flock to the nutrients the flock needs, okay? So let's go in this direction, and there's a reason behind it. It's not random. There's an intentionality behind it. That some of us need to move to greener pastures where there's different types of grass and different things to eat and different nutrients, and it meets the needs of what we have. So this is Lent. Well, I woke up this morning, and then I'm just sort of taken aback by this passage, and then we sing this song about it this morning, and I just felt like we needed to emphasize this. So if you would turn in your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 37. I apologize to Mary who came in to do the slides this morning. She'll have very little to do, if anything. But nonetheless, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 37. I'll read it to you. It's the first 14 verses. The hand of the Lord was upon me. That's a good thing. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. Got it? Prophet, hand, valley. It was full of bones. This is unusual. This vision. He led me back and forth among them. In other words, we're going to tour the bones. We're going to investigate the bones. We're not just going to look at them from a distance. We're going to get up close and personal with these bones. I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Dry bones. Let's stop right there. Bones, valley, prophet, sunlight. Dry, blanched, brittle bones. Scattered, not connected. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" So we see death. I said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know." And then he said to me, "Prophesy." Powerful word. "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Said another way, "Ezekiel, look at all these bones here. Blanched, brittle, and dried out. Scattered, disconnected. Prophesy to them. Speak the word of God to them, to these dry bones." This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. "I will make breath enter you." Wow, this is fascinating. "I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Interesting. Perhaps, there is a dryness in you. A dryness associated with your spiritual walk or lack thereof. Perhaps you've been out in the sun and you've become brittle. Maybe you aren't as pliable as you once were when it comes to hearing, receiving. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're worn out, and maybe you're out of breath. Son of man, prophesy to those bones that breath might enter them. This is interesting. Maybe you're in a valley, and maybe you're disconnected. Maybe you're less connected than you should be, and you're running on yesterday's manna. What marrow you have left within you is from days gone by. Maybe your testimonies and the things that you share of God are things that happened in the past and not yesterday, not this morning, not today. Where is the fresh manna? Where is God now? Now, today, this afternoon, where is he now? Dry bones. We have before us an opportunity, do we not? We have before us 46 days. We have before us 3.5 days to prepare for that season. To think creatively, to purpose ourselves, to resolve ourselves, to organize ourselves for what that season of Lent could be, can be, will be, as we seek greater life, greater breath, greater liberty, and freedom to move and live and have our being in Christ. What an opportunity. Not only do we have that opportunity as individuals, but we have it as families. And not only as families, we have that opportunity corporately as a church. Is this simply about giving something up? I think not. I think Lent is more about maybe, perhaps, laying some things down, but actually receiving life, receiving breath, receiving direction. Receiving healing. What is this the early church fathers purposed for us to observe? It's really modeled after Jesus and his season of 40 days of temptation in the desert. Now, some of you and I were together, and we've driven past this place in the Judean wilderness. Make no mistake about it, there's no wilderness. But John the Baptist said, I'm the voice of one calling from the wilderness. There's no trees. There's not a lot of plants. There's a lot of dust. There's a lot of rocks. So this season, the church father set this up, so this season starts on Ash Wednesday. Why ashes? Why do we have ashes on this table right here? And why are these ashes actually represent from previous palms that were waved on Palm Sunday? The palms reflect a returning to town, a returning of a king. We want the king to return again. We want to put sackcloth and ashes on. So the people at the church would put sackcloth on, like burlap, and they would wear it, and it would be itchy. I remember as a kid, I always wanted my mom to cut the tag off my shirt because it was itchy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Itchy because it was uncomfortable. That people realized they needed to be uncomfortable. Here's the thing about the Spirit of God. We are to be in tune with him, but more often than not, we want to be in tune with the Spirit of God on the things that are really good, but we don't want to be in tune with the Spirit of God on the things that upset him or grieve him or make him discomfortable. Our own sin. And this is Ash Wednesday. Our service at 6 o'clock, when you come in here, will be vastly different than what you see here today. It will be dark. There will be dark clothing. There will be a sobriety about us. There will be a humility about us as we observe the depths of what it means to be humble before God. Well, a great way to start a season of new life, repentance. What do you have in your life that you don't want come Easter Sunday? What confusion, what doubt, what needs to be added to your lot? Passion, sensitivity, love, worship? Do you need to purpose to serve the poor, the sick? Do you need to do something that when you look back on Lent, you'll say, that was the season when I blank served the poor. That's the season when I fasted. That's the season when I got a new appetite for the word. That's the season when I prayed for my husband day in and day out. That's the season that I grew with a greater passion for the things of God. That was my jump start. That was my kickstart. That got me going again. What would you sit in that pew on Easter Sunday and thank God for having received it through that period of Lent? Every season has a purpose under heaven. So Jesus, very hungry in the 40 days in the desert, very hungry, very, very thirsty. Very, very alone, very disconnected, and very much in a valley. Very much persecuted. What do we say to these dry bones this morning? Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. This is interesting. A rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I don't know how many deer hunters we got out there. I like deer hunting. I like deer hunting for a couple reasons. Well, one, it's quiet. Two, you have to turn your cell phone off. At least on vibrate. You get up in the morning when it's dark, and you get dressed, and you leave wherever you're going, and you walk through the woods, trying to walk as quietly as possible, and then you shimmy up some tree and some deer stand, and you sit there, and then you begin to freeze. And speaking of bones, the chill gets down deep into your bones. And then, just before the sun comes up, it does get freezing, even more freezing than you were, and you realize, I could lose a limb here. And then the sun comes up, and then you try not to turn your head left to right, you just move your eyes, and you're starting to see now what's going to be before you for half of a day and you're trying to memorize the woods, the trees, the logs, the different vegetation, the terrain. And you're trying to memorize it in such a way that if anything unusual presents itself in that area, I'll know it might be a deer because you're used to seeing the same thing. So you study, you study, you study. And in certain seasons, in certain times of the season, you'll hear hunters taking antlers and rubbing them together, creating the impression that two bucks are going at it so as to lure another buck in to engage in a fight to protect their territory. A rattling. That's what happens with these bones. A rattling. Sometimes you enter a season dry as you can possibly be, and there is a rattling when things start to come together so as to remind you you're called to fight. You're called to a fight. You're called to protect your territory. You're called to defend what God has in store for you and a calling upon your life. And you got to fight for it. These bones started to rattle. Reminds me of deer hunting. Here's the thing about the bones. First of all, bones don't have ears, so I don't know why they're talking to them. It's all a vision, but you get the point. Sometimes, not all of us, sometimes, listen carefully, we fall asleep. We fall asleep on our watch. And what we need, what we desperately need, is Ephesians 5 and 14. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Oh, sleeper! When everyone around you knows exactly what's going on, we're slumbering through life, confused, dazed. Wake up! A spiritual smelling salts. Wake up! Come on! Start the rattling process. Start to fight! For your faith. That's important. And that's a timely word. We cannot be lured into some sort of lackadaisical spiritual fog where we're walking around trying to figure out who we are, who God is, when there's got to be a rattling going on. Purpose yourself in that season to that end. Wake up. We're serving Christ now. Today, he is not defined by our feelings, our wants, our desires. He is not Lord because we declare him to be. He is Lord because he is Lord. We don't extend to him lordship. He is Lord. He is our rabbi, our master, our teacher, our redeemer, our physician. Our soon coming king, what he says he means and he commands, wake up. If you're dry today, make sure you're not dry and asleep at the wheel of your own life. It's very important. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, that breath may come into you again, the breath of God, the life of God. Life. And life more abundantly. Notice these bones are dry. Very dry. What do they need? Water. There are ebbs and flows, pardon the pun, of our spiritual walks when we are hungry for God and thirsty for God, and then sometimes we find ourselves a little parched, I'm a little dry. I don't know. Pray for me. When in reality, we need this water of which Jesus spoke. If you're dry this morning, listen to this and remove the distractions from the very prophecy I speak to you. Whoever is thirsty, come unto me and I will give you living water, as the scripture has said. Out of you will flow rivers of living water. not enough to satisfy your parchedness and your thirst, but the thirst of others. The psalmist had it. He got it. And when he found himself there, he didn't hide it. When he found himself there, it wasn't a secret. When he found himself there, his pride didn't get in the way. As the deer panteth for the water brook, O my soul longeth after thee. O my soul longeth after thee. Purpose yourself, friend. Purpose yourself to get a hold of that thirst again. Wake up. Get thirsty. Lent. Simply something that we do without? Are you kidding me? How about something we can't do without? How about something we cannot live without? How about something we have to seek and not stop seeking? If it takes 46 days and every minute of every day, do it. Seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God. Knock and the door shall be open. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If someone will come and open, I will come in and sup with thee. If we didn't have the season, I wouldn't be saying this, and you wouldn't be purposing yourself with the time constraints to do so. The season aids us in the pursuit of God. It defines parameters. It defines intentionality. The season in the early church had its purpose, and I can see the possibilities. What would you do without? Who can you do without? What can you do without? And what can you not do without? I cannot do without the water of the Spirit. Impossible. Not an option. Cannot do without. Whether it's a drip, a solitary drip, or a waterfall, enough is enough. I'll take one drip of the Spirit, then one day, parched, dry, rattling, dead, brittle bones blanched in the sea of a valley I created. I'll take one drop. If I was as dry as this, I would purpose myself not to let myself go one solitary day, if not half day, if not hour, if not 2 hour period of time without longing for, pleading with the Spirit of God. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Against you and you only have I sinned. Let's get this right. This is a time to let go of that which we white knuckle. This is serious. Do not get drunk on wine that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wash over me by the washing of the water of the Word. Lord, prophesy to me. That's it, man. Prophesy to me. Speak to me. Breathe on me. I've created a valley. I am drifting and wandering about. I need a river with a flow that I cannot cross. I need a river with a flow I cannot ford. I need a river that takes me where I need to be. I need a river I cannot fight against the current. I need a river I have to submit to. That I will wake up. Wake up. Now, Psalms is extreme, doesn't it? I don't know, is it? First thing Jesus said was repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I look out over this congregation. I see nice ladies in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. I doubt they're robbing banks or anything this week. But I do know that we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. I do know that God's no respecter of men. I do know that sin is sin, and we all have it. And I do know that he calls us each to repent. Think on this, ponder this in your heart. We may find ourselves approaching a God Wednesday night at 6 o'clock that in part is grieving a loss, temporary, I hope, grieving a loss of fellowship. We cannot build our own secret places to hide, conceal who we are. I got 10 people in mind in this room right here alone that I know are hurting. I can't do a solid thing for you, nor can you for yourself. Sometimes in the middle of the afternoon, I'll get feel run down. I'm a morning person. I'll get to feeling run down and tired. A dull headache will come on me, dehydrated. I tell you what, if I can just get to a Barnes & Noble, get me a Fiji water, about that big around, give them the $4.50 they want for it, and I start drinking that thing, man. When it moves over my tongue down into my stomach, it seems to, I don't know, it doesn't take much time at all. Sort of. It's just like carried wherever it needs to go. Another sip. I've learned to drink it slow. Another sip. About 10 minutes go by and I realize I'm ready to conquer the world. I was a dry bone. Dry bone. Do you need to drink of the Spirit of the living God between now and Resurrection Sunday and look back on that season and have but one word to describe it? Wow. Wow. Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. The wow begins. Think on these things. Pray about these things. If it's not your personal issue, who are you going to serve? What are you going to do different? Who are you going to love on? Oh, here's one. Who's going to hear the gospel? How much of that word are you going to fall in love with? And what masks are you going to lay down and finally ask for some help? The arrogance of not wanting or needing help sickens me. I can't imagine what the Lord thinks about it. Wake up.